Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is coming soon. Amen. Our text today is written in the book of Micah in the 5th chapter, verses 2 through 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And this one shall be peace. So far the text. In the name of Jesus, your fellow redeemed. A trivia game that some people find it enjoyable to play is a multiple choice question and answer game in which the name of an important historical figure is provided, and then the contestants are asked to select from the choices A, B, C, or D. What's the correct city of that person's birth? For example, John Wayne, the famous actor, all-time great of motion picture industry. Was he born A, in Burbank, California, Winterset, Iowa, Detroit, Michigan, or Minneapolis? Correct answer, as you may know, it's that little town located in rural Iowa, about 30 miles southwest of Des Moines, Winterset. Frank Lloyd Wright, the renowned designer and architect, was he born in Chicago, New York City, Richland Center, Wisconsin, or L.A., California? Correct answer, the little town located in cow country of southwest Wisconsin near Madison. One other one, of course, you maybe know the answer to this one. The great American president, Abraham Lincoln, was born in a log cabin in Boston, Springfield, Illinois, Nashville, Tennessee, or Hodgenville, Kentucky. Well, it's the no-name town, Hodgenville, in Kentucky. So it's a fact of history. We know that the birthplaces of important people are not always thriving metropolises. And this week we're again reminded how the most important person who has ever lived, who accomplished the most consequential work ever, was born not in the big city of Rome or Damascus or even Jerusalem, but in a tiny hamlet situated in a remote area of South Palestine. As we enter Christmas week, we want to travel in spirit to this place. We want to look to little Bethlehem, there to marvel at our Savior's birth and to appreciate the royal blessings that he comes to bring us. I'd like to provide a little information as we begin our message this morning on that little town of Bethlehem. It was about 5 miles southwest of Jerusalem. You may recall from Bible history that Bethlehem was the place where Rachel, the beloved wife of Jacob, was buried after she gave birth and died in childbirth, giving birth to Benjamin. Bethlehem was the place where Naomi and Ruth settled after their return from Moab, after that really severe famine. And Ruth gleaned leftover grain from the harvest fields of a man named Boaz near Bethlehem and became the great-grandmother of David, ancestor of Jesus. And it is in this little town of Bethlehem that David was born, also the famous king, where he kept watch as a young shepherd boy over his father Jesse's flock, and where the prophet Samuel anointed this ruddy lad to be the next king of Israel in the place of Saul, not his older, more handsome brothers. And in our text, Micah calls our attention to this out-of-the-way village. He foretells, "You, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the thousands of Judah, out of you will come to me one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting." So we notice how Micah, and this is like 250 years after David lived, and about 750 years before Christmas, describes the marvelous nature of Jesus' birth at Bethlehem. He says that his goings forth, that his origins, are from of old, though he would be born in Bethlehem in a natural and usual way, as happens with all other babies, yet most astoundingly, his existence could be traced back before David, 1000 BC, before Abraham, 2000 BC, all the way back to Adam and Eve at the very dawn of time, and more than that, from everlasting. So he would be the one concerning whom Paul wrote in his letter to the Colossians, "By him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, powers, rulers, or authorities, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things." That child who was to be born at Bethlehem. It's what we confess. May we never cease to marvel, dear friends, as often as we join our voices together in declaring in the Nicene Creed, that I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. He's our Creator God. He revealed himself, by the way, to his people, his believing people, in a very marvelous way all through that 4,000-year period of the Old Testament. Who was it that spoke to Moses out of the burning bush? "I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites in Egypt. I am has sent you." Who appeared to Abraham on Mount Moriah and held him back from sacrificing his son Isaac? And said, "I swear by myself that because you've done this, you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed." Who was it, that mysterious figure who came to Jacob in the dark of night at the ford of the river Jabbok on his way to meeting up with his twin brother Esau and engaged Jacob in a no-holds-barred wrestling match until daybreak, to whom Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And when the man asked him, "What's your name?" and he said, "Jacob." The man responded, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." And then he blessed Jacob there. That was none other in each of these instances, and there are others in the Old Testament, the pre-incarnate Son of God, Jesus. And adding to the wonder of Micah's prophecy, the birth that would take place in the city of David, not only would the child born there be true God, he would also become and remain true man. Micah foretold this miracle, what we call the personal union of the divine and human in the person of Christ, when he wrote, "He, God, shall give them up," that he would abandon the nation of Israel so that it would not regain national prominence, "until the time when she," referring to Mary, "she who is in labor would give birth." It would be at that time that the one whose origins are from everlasting would dress himself in human form, not just temporarily like he had done at various junctures in the Old Testament, but he would become our flesh and blood brother, Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us forever. So as you look to Little Bethlehem this week, as you travel there in spirit, may your heart be filled with awe and wonderment. Say with Martin Luther in his Christmas hymn, "Savior of the nations, come, virgin son, make here thy home. Marvel now, O heaven and earth, that the Lord chose such a birth." And may you be filled with also appreciation for the royal blessings that he comes to bring you. You know, even the name of Jesus' birth town can serve as a reminder every time we hear that, of the precious blessings that he came from heaven to bring us. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. Ephrathah means a fruitful place. Bethlehem Ephrathah was given that name because it was situated in a fertile area of South Palestine, surrounded by fields of grain. As I mentioned before, that's where Ruth went out and gleaned grain from the harvest fields of Boaz around Bethlehem. However, Bethlehem was a house of bread and a fruitful place in a much higher sense, as we know, because the baby born in a stable was himself the bread that came from heaven, who would later on declare, "I tell you the truth, it's not Moses who's given you the bread from heaven," referring to the manna, "but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." So that name Bethlehem can remind and teach us all about how God's Son came from on high to supply us with the nourishment we all need for our souls. He would do this by keeping the commandments perfectly as our substitute, by giving up his flawless life on the cross as the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and then taking it up again by his own volition, as true God, on Easter morning to prove beyond a doubt four critically important heavenly truths. Yes, he was not an imposter. He is the all-powerful Son of God. He did atone for our sins. We have been justified, that is, declared righteous. He did break the power of death, shattering the iron chains that Satan used to imprison us. So we too, yes, we shall rise on the last day. And then the fourth very important and special truth, since Jesus said he was going to come alive after being dead, and it happened. We know that everything he's told us in the Bible, all of his promises, we can take to the bank. They're all dependable, every last one. In his birth, life, death, and resurrection has indeed resulted in many more innumerable blessings for us. Notice how the prophet Micah further describes the perks that God's believing children would enjoy when he wrote, "And he," the Lord, "shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace." So in addition to being a perfect ruler, our King most wonderful, in whom all joys are found. He would become our strong, loving shepherd, doing for us all that David wrote in Psalm 23. Make us lie down in green pastures, lead us beside still waters, restore our souls, lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And remember what I said about all his promises? Take him to the bank. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He would serve as our shepherd by using the message of the simple gospel amidst the turmoil and confusion of our sin-torn world and the heartaches, troubles we experience, things like pandemics, and so many uncertainties about our lives in the future, and especially the restlessness of souls that we experience on account of our daily sins. We'd use the precious gospel, simple to the world but great to us, to set our hearts at rest, assuring us of his forgiving love and the promise of a life that is to come with him in heaven's perfect joy. So, dear friends, whenever you sing the cherished carols in which the little town of Bethlehem is referenced, with the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born at Bethlehem. O come, all ye faithful, triumphantly sing, come see in the manger our Savior and King, to Bethlehem hasten with joyful accord. Let it be much more than a nostalgic journey down memory lane when you recall pleasant days of Christmases past. Certainly our thoughts can't help but hark back to olden days, to Christmases of years gone by. We gather together with loved ones around the Christmas tree, opening presents, very special times indeed. But may our hearts especially be drawn to the royal blessings that Jesus came from heaven to provide. Let's look to little Bethlehem. Travel there in spirit again this week, guided by Micah's prophecy, there to worship before Jesus and lay down at his manger bed the presence that he most especially is looking for from us. A penitent, trusting, joyful, thankful heart. May your Christmas prayer be, O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord, Emmanuel. Amen. The peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your spirit free.